This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two as we get rolling through on Wake Up Call. It is a throwback Thursday today, going back to 1997. That's the date Latrell Sprewell choked PJ Carlissimo in the aftermath of that. But we've also got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour. And then Jerry Palm of CBS Sports is going to join us to talk some college football. As, again, we're heading into championship weekend and what the committee is looking at this weekend. And maybe some clues as to what they gave us on Tuesday night. There is the sources are kind of pulling towards Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, becoming the next head coach at Notre Dame. 35 years old, has the Notre Dame defense really rocking right now. I mean, he has a 3-3-5 defensive scheme that has really tightened up Notre Dame. They just don't give up very many points, haven't in the last couple of games. And one of the things that is emerging as we get to know Marcus Freeman a lot better, again, 35 years old, if indeed he is the hire, he's going to take the reins of one of the most storied sports entities. Forget just college football. I mean, Notre Dame transcends just that. But one of the things that you're noticing is how many people are speaking so highly of Marcus Freeman, and that is going to be key. If you're the Notre Dame athletic department and you're on the board that is figuring out, you're in the room essentially making this process, Jack Swarbuck, the AD, or anybody else that's in the process of hiring, you want this hire to be seen as a positive. You want the hire to be seen as a good move, right? It's not just so much getting the right guy, it's making the appearance that everything is going to be okay. Right, that Brian Kelly, who spent 12 years there, is leaving and left on his own accord, because of his own desires. And nobody turns down Notre Dame. We heard that yesterday. Nobody turns down Notre Dame. Like what, 1907 was Les Coach that left on their own accord, just out of the blue? And so what you want to do is you want to get the feeling of the ship is going to be okay. And putting in a guy that players like, not only like, but speak so highly of, that it's almost like, man, I wish people would think this about me. That's the kind of person Marcus Freeman is, and at least coming out in the public, that's how people think of him. And if you're Notre Dame, that's going to carry a long way. Yet Luke Fickell is still going to be a candidate, and some other people are going to pop up. The Matt Campbells of the world, maybe PJ Fleck, whoever. But Marcus Freeman's a leader.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. Let's get right to it with the good of the day.
Well, the good of the day, we got two.
Two?
So, one, well, let's do a throwback Thursday, all right?
All right, yeah.
All right, if you are, you going to be visiting Chicago anytime soon?
No, I am not.
I might have changed your mind just now.
Okay.
Because if you're needing a place to stay for one night only and at the low, low price of $25 for the night.
$25? Okay.
You could stay at the Home Alone house.
Really?
Yes.
Does it come with all the cool little gadgets?
No, but they do promise many amenities. And I don't know, if you're to do it, wouldn't you try to stage your own?
Of course.
A little break-in.
Get some paint cans, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Put some micro machines
down
at the bottom of the stairs.
Why does that movie still hold up to this day?
I don't know. I mean, literally, we've talked about this before where there's a lot of movies that you can't make today. I would think would be one of them because that's child endangerment.
They did on Disney Plus. There's a remake on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That didn't go over well.
I'm not watching it.
Yeah, don't watch it. It didn't get good reviews. But you're right. I mean, it's like, ha ha, I left my kid at... No, that's actually horrific. Left your kid?
I mean, you got on a plane to France. I think about this all the time. But, if my 14-year-old was left home alone, he'd be fine.
Right.
If my 11-year-old was home alone, there would be some concern.
Like, she's on the plane, and she remembers she has another kid?
Yeah.
And he wasn't with them?
Well, it's because they were late for the plane. They just had to run through the airport.
How do you pitch that?
And then when she was ready to count all the kids, it was the flight attendants' fault who were going, no, just get on the plane. We'll make sure everyone gets on board.
Yeah, but she didn't notice one of her kids on the way to the airport.
Not once.
And let me just make this clear. Every single person that has ever had a child has been massively late for something.
I love
this. This is not a common occurrence.
I think my favorite part in that whole entire movie was the dad was clueless.
Right, I know.
She's like, I forgot something. He's like, did you close the garage? That's it. I didn't close the garage door.
And yet whatever he did for a living allowed him to fly the entire large family to Paris for the holidays and live in that big, gigantic house.
Yeah.
But he was stupid enough not to even notice that one of his kids wasn't there.
Well, you know, he's a busy man.
That's very true.
Come on. He's on vacation.
Right. Well, that's $25. You said $25 a room?
$25 for the night.
That's a bucket list thing for people. Go do that.
Yeah, it's on Airbnb. I think it might be just one night only, but still.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know.
Right. So you can't go there in the summer.
Would you want to?
No, you want to go in the Christmas holiday.
You want to go in the wintertime, and I'm hoping the treehouse is there.
I do, too. All right, what's the second good?
The second good of the day is that a Michigan high school basketball team added a wrong number to their group chat. So picture this, if you will, you know, basketball team. They're going to put together a group chat because kids do that nowadays. So they can all just kind of talk to each other, have fun off the court. Well, they added a – when the guy who set it up was typing in all the numbers, he added a wrong number to the group chat. And that number actually belonged to Buccaneers cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting.
How in the world does that happen?
It was just a number off.
What in the world?
So, at first, when Sean Murphy Bunting had let them know, hey, who dis wrong number, they didn't believe who they had gotten. So Sean Murphy Bunting could do only what Sean Murphy Bunting could do, which was FaceTime the group.
That's got to be pretty wild. And was he angry?
No, he was not angry at all. He had a great conversation with them, convincing them that he was a Buccaneers cornerback. He happened to be at the locker room at the time, took him on the tour of the locker room. And then there were a few guest appearances on this group chat. Maybe a little Mike Evans. Rob Gronkowski stopped by, and other fellow Michigan, I guess not native, but Michigan player at one point.
Yeah, sure.
Tom Brady.
Oh, my God. They got Tom Brady on that group chat?
Well, just the FaceTime video. Yeah.
That's great. Good for them.
So I think this high school team realized that they actually have Sean Murphy Bunting's phone number.
This is turning good. That is good. That's
Can
great.
You imagine just dialing a wrong number? But I mean, you know, why would you believe that? You know, if the guy just goes back in the group chat, he's like, yeah, wrong number. This is Sean. You've reached Sean Murphy Bunting.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe that. Like, yeah, no, right.
Whatever. Right.
Then he FaceTimes you and goes, oh, look, I'm standing next to Tom Brady.
That's awesome. That's great. What a cool thing. All right, then what's the bad of the day?
Oh, you ready for this?
Yes.
Stop me if you've heard this one before, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
A professional team from Oakland is closing in on a site to develop into a ballpark on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Yeah, there might be a work stoppage where players can't play, but that doesn't mean owners can't shop.
That sure can.
So if you can't figure it out, we'll spell it out for you. The Oakland A's are looking at some territory to join their former Oakland roommates, right?
Yeah, yeah. And why not? Right? Yep. Why not? The problems in Oakland have been well documented.
Yeah.
On that arena and the inability of getting, you know, you. Listen, I hate it. You hate it. Everybody hates it. But owners want public help.
Yeah.
Right. And when they can't get it, they just go. You can yell and scream at them and call them immoral and all of those things. But in the end, they go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. We'll just go to where we get it. So leave us alone.
And listen, they already know Vegas is buyers.
Absolutely.
The public in Vegas is going, yeah, come on down. Major League Baseball will not stop this because, you know, they want a piece of the Vegas action.
I lived in Vegas for 3 years. I really enjoyed my time there. The only major reason I left was it didn't have professional teams to cover for my young career. And now it could get a baseball team on top of the NHL team. And of course, on top of the Raiders, it's like, as soon as gambling became accepted, the ocean of teams started wanting to pour in there.
It's the logical choice, right? I mean, Nashville may never get a baseball team, even though it's a rich baseball town. I mean, you have the number one college, baseball college in America there. I mean, and it's not even a contest. It's been that way for years. Cannot get a professional baseball team there. Vegas is like, can we have one? Sure. Here you go.
Exactly.
You want two? You want three? We'll give you all of them.
Goodness. That's crazy.
So, yeah, so the Oakland A's could become the Las Vegas A's, just like their former roommates. Yep. Now they'll become neighbors.
Why wouldn't they? All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I'm a little worried about this one.
Uh-huh.
World's first living robots figured out a way to reproduce, according to scientists.
No, they didn't.
Yes.
How did they do that?
It is a xenobot.
Teach me the robot birds and the bees, Ron Culver.
It's a xeno. I'm still not sure what exactly it is, but it's called
the robot stork land in their town.
It's called a xenobot, or that's what they're calling it, xenobot, and it's like a hybrid robot with mixed with a frog DNA, and they're only about a millimeter big, so at least we have that going for us. But some scientists have just been fooling around. The director of he was astounded by what the results were, that they found a way to reproduce.
Ugh, this is scary. I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't even know what to think of it. Because, see, the robots were formed from the stem cells of the African clawed frog.
Ugh. Why are we doing this? Stop! Yeah. Why? Who's paying for this kind of research?
Well, this is from...
Cut it out!
This is coming from scientists from the University of Vermont, Tufts University, and Harvard University's Weiss Institute for Biological-Inspired Engineering. Now, they do, I guess, have an ethics committee or an ethics person that, you know, they can easily squash this. But we all know how scientists' brains work.
Of course, they don't care.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we'll destroy this batch, but that other batch that we have in the back room, let's see how far we can take it.
All right, let's say you were a kid, and every opportunity your mother had to show you a TV show or a movie or a commercial of a little boy putting his hand on a hot stove and just burning his hand to a crisp, would you say to yourself, well, that's not going to happen to me. That's just a TV show. I'm going to go do it anyway. How many movies have the robots killed humanity do we have to watch before we stop going, you know, it'd be really cool if we could figure out if these robots could reproduce. Wouldn't that be excellent, everybody? Is everybody on the same page?
Has there been a safe TV show or movie that shows robots in a safe light?
No, outside of Rosie lifting up a couch?
Yeah.
No.
I was thinking, you know, maybe Small Wonder. Even then, she had her issues.
Even then, that was still creepy.
Yeah.
Right? No. Guys, watch Hollywood. Every time Hollywood presents robots in the future, it's always a dystopia, right? It's always like skulls on the ground and laser beams and dead humans and cities in rubble. Do not put yourself in a position to see if robots can make themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You see, I will fix this sentence, because the sentence here says they have discovered an entirely new form of biological reproduction different from any animal or plant known to science. I'm going to change to they were happily surprised to discover, because that's how scientists work. I mean, they're just, like I said, I mean, yeah, sure, they may destroy that batch that they're showing on the news. But then, you know, there's a whole nother batch, and that maybe that one's not a millimeter big. Maybe that one's, you know, 5 inches big. Where does it stop?
That reminds me. Do you know who played a scientist in the most perfect way possible in a movie? Was what the actor's name? Brent Spiner, the guy who played Data.
Yeah.
When he was the scientist in Independence Day. Remember when the president and his team like were starting to hide in Area 51?
Yep.
And he was like, he was so excited about some discovery. They were like the aliens were coming to life, and he was just so thrilled. And the president's like, their people are dying out there. Like, but he played that role of, that's exactly what scientists do. They don't care. They're just like, this is new and exciting to me.
Yep.
Right? That's what they're doing. They're like, this is going to kill humanity. He was like, but yeah, but look what they're doing.
Well, it was the whole thing. Like, you know,
you've had this thing for 50 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but the last several days have been really exciting.
Really exciting. It's exciting. People are dying out there. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. Yep. I'm a scientist.
Well, remember we wanted to show it off? Hey, yeah, we call it the freak show. You want to see him?
Yeah, you want to see? Yeah, exactly. That's the perfect example of what we're doing.
That's who these guys are.
That's exactly who they are.
Keep pushing the boundaries. And that's, their mindset, it's like, hey, one day, I'll be revered for this discovery.
Absolutely.
I might be the only person left, but I'll be revered.
That's it. All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb. Hey, Jerry Palm's going to join us 15 minutes. We'll talk college football with him, including the coaching carousel, and the report Marcus Freeman is going to be the head coach at Notre Dame. We'll talk more about that coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
Hey, need gift ideas? The Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone on your list with prices under $15, like a pair of mechanics wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a slime digital tire gauge, and much more. Check out the Holiday Gift Guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. 1997 on a Throwback Thursday, Latrell Sprewell choking P.J. Carlissimo in Golden State Warriors practice. Goodness, that does feel like a while ago. Some of these I feel like it yesterday. Does. That does feel like a while ago.
But at the same time, it doesn't feel like nearly, 25 years ago?
25 years.
It doesn't feel that long ago.
That means I've been with my wife for 25 years. That's crazy. Wow. I'm starting to think of a time she wasn't, and that's very difficult to remember.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. My wife in 97, so.
Yeah, oh my goodness. All right, Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, is set to be the new head coach, according to sources. He's going to be properly vetted, but it looks like he's going to land it. Why would they stay internally to go with a 35-year-old coach? A 35-year-old guy who, again, just established a fantastic defense, but at the same time, it's Notre Dame, right? I mean, can a guy like that, who's never been a head coach before, really take the reins of a program like Notre Dame, the expectations? Well, yeah, he can. And it's an interesting combination of things that are going to lead Notre Dame to keep him on board. And you started seeing some of this come together. Offensive coordinator decided to stick around. I think the strength and conditioning coach decided to stick around. Like, guys that would normally leave when a head coach leaves, they decided that, I think we're going to stay. And that keeps some continuity in place. Offensive coordinator Tommy Rees, who played at Notre Dame, is going to be sticking around. He's only 29 years old. And that also means that, and here's the key, because it all comes down to recruiting, right? It all comes down to what you're setting yourself up in the future, that you can always sell the promise of tomorrow when you are a college program. And that Marcus Freeman is a great recruiter, and great is probably an understatement for how good of a recruiter he is. When he was at Cincinnati, he was fantastic. The team you're seeing today is some of the guys that are making big headlines for Cincinnati are the guys he brought there when he was there, and he helped Notre Dame get the fourth best recruiting class for this upcoming season in 2022 and the number two class for 2023, although we're not quite done yet. So if you're Notre Dame and you've seen a couple of things about this guy, one, he recruits really, really well. Two, the players on the team right now aren't bolting to the transfer portal because Brian Kelly's leaving. The young players that can go to the transfer portal aren't doing that. And they aren't doing that because even when you play on offense, this guy is an attractive guy to be around. He's got a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and he's got great connection. That's the other key. He makes a great connection with the student athletes. And here's something that I was reading earlier before the show today about Marcus Freeman is how he recruits at Notre Dame is critical to Notre Dame. Look, if you're recruiting at Alabama, all right, what would be some of the things that you would sell to a player? Would you, you would sell, obviously, the great tradition at Alabama football, the national championships. They have a bunch of them, and they continue to win more. But the other thing that you would sell and absolutely hammer home would be the pipeline from Alabama to the NFL. We load the league up with athletes. We load the NFL up with players from our program. You want to get to the next level, come to Alabama. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. If you, if you're a five-star athlete today, we can make you an NFL prospect tomorrow. Right. And that's what you sell. Well, a lot of schools can't sell that like Alabama can sell that. But Notre Dame has some other things up their sleeve. Right. Notre Dame can sell play for a national championship. They can. They've been in the playoff twice under Brian Kelly. They could get into the playoff this year. Right. I mean, that would be three times since the playoffs implementation, if indeed the chips fall their way and they do land a berth, which is not really unlikely. I mean, I think they could. So they could be in three playoffs in the span of what, 7 years, 8 years that this thing has been around. So you can sell, win a national championship. We talk about this all the time. There are coaches out there right now in non-Power 5 programs that can't sell that, right? Despite Cincinnati's success, they can't sell that. They have to get their school into that Power 5 in order to sell the possibility of playing for a national championship. But Marcus Freeman can. The other thing that he can sell is we send players to the pros too. Notre Dame will do that. They will grow your player into a professional prospect and put you on national TV on NBC all the time. But the other thing is, and here's why it's important for Notre Dame, here's the other thing that he sells. Notre Dame is not like other universities when it comes to its alumni, right? A lot of alumni stay within the sort of local area of the school. So if you graduate from the University of New Hampshire, let's say, like I ended up doing, then if I stayed in the New Hampshire area and I was in banking or business or sales or engineering or whatever, then I could tap into a really sort of intricate alumni base within that region of people who went to school there, kind of stayed in that area and started businesses or managers or hiring managers in those businesses, because I can be connected to an alumni network in that region. Very hard to do that if I were to pick up and move to, let's say, Southern California. But Notre Dame is completely different. Their tentacles are everywhere. They're in business all over the place. They have alumni all over the globe that you can tap into as a former player with a degree from Notre Dame. So maybe you're not one of those kind of athletes that goes that can go to the NFL. But if Notre Dame is in your living room and Marcus Freeman is in your living room, he had an unbelievable way of selling the Notre Dame package that is different than other schools. He would tell kids, come to Notre Dame and get your degree and your life will never be the same again. Trust me on this. There is a pipeline that you can tap into of people who went to Notre Dame that will have your back in all sorts of fields, especially if you play football here. If you play football for 4 years at this school and you graduate with a business degree, I challenge any school to come into this living room and tell you you'd have a better life than what we could offer you. That's what he sells. And that's what that's why these great football players are deciding to go to Notre Dame. That's one of the reasons they have some of the top classes. Because it's not always about the five-star recruits that's going on in the NFL. A lot of times your team is successful because of the guys that are really good football players that are not going to go to the NFL, that has chosen your academic institution over any other academic institution. And that's what Marcus Freeman has done very well. He bought into Notre Dame and is selling Notre Dame to recruits better than almost anybody out there. Now, if you are Jack Swarbrick, that's exactly what you're looking for in a head coach. He's already shown that he can coach. He's got one of the better defenses in the country, and his scheme works. We heard Mike Golick talk about that earlier this week. He loves Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame guys love this guy. Again, 35 years old. And all of a sudden, college football guys are starting to like him too. The pundits that write. I saw Pete Futek tweet out, have people talk about you like people are talking about Marcus Freeman. That's how much people love this guy. So if you're Jack Swarbrick and you've got a guy that sells your school and how it's so different than other places, he's not just saying, come play for us, blah, 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 blah. He's saying, come play for us and tap into the Notre Dame pipeline. Tap in to what Notre Dame offers you as an alumni here. Get that degree and see what your world will be like. He sells that. He's got a great football mind. He really knows the game, played the game, can coach the game. Got into coaching knowing that's where he wanted to go. So he got into the coaching game really, really early. Very smart guy. Marcus Freeman This is the reason why he's the front runner over Luke Fickell, over PJ Fleck, over an Urban Meyer coming out of the pros. He's got all of the check marks that you want if you're the athletic director at Notre Dame. But the most important thing, I think, is that he knows exactly where he is, and that's South Bend, Indiana, at one of the greater academic institutions in the country. All right, we're going to talk to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joining us. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. By the way, how was your Thanksgiving? Was it good?
Yeah. You know, we celebrated on Friday instead of Thursday because that's when we could get everybody together. And then Saturday was a bucket game at Purdue, so great weekend.
I was just going to say, for sports writers like yourself, and college football is such a busy time, college football weekend, that weekend is such a – every year it's a busy – it's rivalry weekend every weekend, every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the last weekend of the regular season. So, you know, it's really one of the most fun weekends, you know, to just sit at – I mean, I went to the bucket game, which was great, but if you're just going to sit at home and watch all these, you know, these teams that hate each other play all day, for me, that's a lot of fun.
All right, what did you take out of Tuesday night's rankings? Again, we have to reiterate, these don't matter. The final one does, but what did you take out of Tuesday?
Okay, actually, these do matter a little bit, but not so much for the college football playoff because so many teams that can make it are still involved. But it does matter for the New Year's Six because there's a pecking order for the teams that are not playing this week. So you do know something about that, but Oklahoma State jumped Notre Dame. That would have happened anyway if they had won this week. So that's just, not a non-event really. So what we have there are, you know, no real surprises at the top. Everybody's kind of where we thought they were. Michigan took Ohio State's spot at number two. And now, you know, we know for sure that Georgia is a lock for the playoff, win or lose. In fact, they'll be no worse than the third seed, no matter how badly Alabama would beat them. And then Michigan's in if they win. Alabama's in if they win. You know, those three are, you know, control their own fate, if you will. And then everybody else has got, you know, situations where they could still win and not make it necessarily. And, the most interesting scenario is Alabama beats Georgia, Michigan wins. Those three are in. And you've got possibly undefeated Cincinnati with a win at Notre Dame versus 12-1 Oklahoma State with three top 15 wins and a better overall schedule in front of the committee for the fourth spot in the playoff.
Yeah,
and I think they go Cincinnati. It's kind of hard to leave out the only undefeated team, and especially with the high-quality win that they have. But it's not a given.
From the standpoint of Notre Dame, do they need a lot to happen to get in? Their only loss is to Cincinnati, and if the committee likes Cincinnati, then they must be okay with that one loss.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, that's why they're as high in the rankings as they are, because their schedule otherwise is not that great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a good ranking, but the ranking is high because it doesn't have much of a bottom, right? They didn't play anybody with no wins or one win. I think Navy might have two or three, and I think the last couple of teams, Georgia Tech and Stanford, are three-win teams. But there's no really truly horrible teams on their schedule. So they have a what you'd call an artificially high ranking. But the best teams that they beat are Wisconsin and Purdue, who are not in the rankings. Wisconsin dropped all the way out from 14 after losing to Minnesota. Also, by the way, Minnesota not in the rankings. But those three teams are probably in the first five out, if you would.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they beat just like two top 30 teams, but not top 25 teams. And anyways, but those are their best wins. So that's kind of what's holding them down, and they can't do anything about it because they're not playing this week. They won't have a conference championship, which is definitely a negative. So they do need some help. They're probably going to need a couple of the teams ahead of them to lose to have a shot to really get in the college football playoff. And then they have to hope that the committee is not going to hold the fact that they lost their coach against them, even though it looks like they're going to replace him with Marcus Freeman by the time the new rankings are announced and a lot of the staff will be in place. But and for me, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Now, if Brian Kelly leaves, You know, it's not like the players left. I mean, he didn't tackle anybody. He didn't throw any passes. The coordinators are still there. They do a lot of the work. It's really, to me, not a big deal at all if the head coach leaves. It's weird that a team that could make the college football playoff loses their coach. And it's also weird that Notre Dame loses their coach because that hasn't happened in 105 years. It's weird. But Gary Barta said, that's something they're considering, and I don't think they should consider that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if it comes down, if it's an obvious punish Notre Dame, and punish using probably a little too strong of a term, but if we feel like that was an obvious thing that they did, I think the public backlash would be huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm the biggest of Notre Dame fans, obviously, but if that's something that would keep them out of, if the committee said, yeah, that's something we considered and why they didn't make the final four, then, yeah, I would have a big problem with that.
Yeah. Overall, let's talk about some coaching moves. I get it. If LSU says it's now or never, get over here, you got to go. But do you think the system is broken or needs to be changed so that these kind of things don't have to happen because recruiting has to occur right now?
Yeah, but how do you change it?
I don't know. That's the question, right?
Yeah. I mean, the coaching carousel isn't something you can control. There just isn't. I mean, I don't know how you change it. I don't think you change recruiting dates to fix it. I mean, the guys want their coaches. They're going to go get their coaches, and they're going to pay them a ton of money, and you go when they're going to give you a ton of money. So,
if there was, though, a hierarchy of a power, could they do something like the NFL that says, like, you can't go to our system if we're going to the Super Bowl. You just got to wait till we're done.
Yeah, but that's a professional league rule that everybody signs up for, that
right.
You know, all those teams are owned, and you know that you can't do that with college. There's no well, players union, so there's a lot of, although that may change someday, but it's not like there's some agreement among all of the conferences and all of the schools that they're going to do this. That'll never happen. So I just don't know how you would create a system that keeps this kind of thing from happening.
Do you think, is it a lateral move for Brian Kelly to go to LSU? Is it slightly up, slightly down? What kind of transition is this?
It's probably lateral. But, you know, he's thinking, I want to win a national championship. It's harder to do that at Notre Dame because they're not in a conference. And that
right.
hamstrings them a little bit in terms of, you know, qualifying. But it also, you know, Notre Dame has full and complete control of their schedule. So as an independent, they can play whoever they can schedule. But one of the things that Notre Dame has done as part of being in the ACC, then this has been probably going on 10 years now, is they play almost half their schedule against ACC teams. Well, unless you're getting one of the, you know, one or two good teams in that league every year, because it's really, you know, that's not a great league. It's not awful. But Clemson has carried it for a long time. But if you're not getting one of the better teams in that league, you're giving half of your schedule to average teams or maybe worse. And then you're playing USC and Stanford and Navy every year. So that's eight of your games that you've just locked in, and you're counting on those teams to give you something. And this year they didn't. Those games did not give Notre Dame anything. So, you know, in the other four games, they played Toledo, who almost beat them, Wisconsin, Purdue. I don't remember the fourth off the top of my head, but it's, you know, they didn't get anything out of their schedule this year. And when you've got complete control of your schedule, you need to do better than that.
Yeah, I agree. Jerry, how about Lincoln Riley to USC? What's he stepping into in Los Angeles?
Well, you know, he's got work to do to rebuild the culture of that football program, but he's a guy who's pretty well connected to the Southern California recruiting area. He's recruited that area well for Oklahoma. So those connections will serve him well trying to recruit and get the talent level back up at USC. This is not something where USC is all of a sudden going to be 11-1 next year. You know, it's going to take a few years to get the talent level up and the experience there and the systems in place and the culture change. You know, and if he can do all that, you know, then they could be, you know, pretty good again in relatively short order. But that's like 3 to 4 years.
I'm usually not surprised with rivalry games because I get the emotion that goes into them. But what Michigan did to Ohio State, coming off of what Ohio State did to Michigan State, I did find eye-opening. What did you make of that?
Michigan has probably the second best defense in the Big Ten. And, you know, they held Ohio State to 27 points. The thing that they did was they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And that's been a problem for Ohio State this season, especially their defensive line doesn't have guys that you have to account for like they usually do. So that's why Purdue can score 31. Now they give up, you know, 50 because their offense is so good, but Michigan State's defense puts so much pressure on you. They can take away the run and pressure the quarterback, and they've got guys that can pretty well cover their receivers, you know, so it's just a different level of talent on that side of the ball than Ohio State has seen all season long, with the possible exception of Oregon, who also beat up their defense. It's just, you know, Michigan was built to beat this Ohio State team. And it's because Ohio State is not as good on either line of scrimmage, really, as they have been in the past.
The Georgia-Alabama game, this is the toughest game Georgia is going to face this year, but Alabama's offensive line didn't look very good at all against Auburn. Do you think Nick Saban has something to change or something to do to give this game a little bit more bite?
Well, I mean, if your offensive line is a problem, and it kind of has been, I don't know what you do. You're not going to change players. If you can't go get a free agent.
True.
You're not pulling someone out of the transfer portal for the Georgia game. So your offensive line is just going to have to do better. And the thing that I think is concerning for Alabama and just baffling to me is an indictment of that offensive line is they can't run the ball.
They can't.
They've got 6 yards against LSU. They were under 100 yards again against Auburn. You know, if you can't run the ball, if you're one-dimensional against Georgia, I don't care how good that other dimension is, you've got problems.
Yep.
They're going to have to be able to run the football somewhat effectively against Georgia if their offense is going to function well at all. And they're going to get and defend, you know, maybe score 20 points on an offense that hasn't given up, you know, more than 17 all year.
I've heard this sort of argument. I've heard this argument that if Oklahoma just throttles Baylor and it's a showcase of the Cowboys, that Cincinnati has to win big against Houston. Does Cincinnati have to win big against Houston, or is a win good enough?
Well, no, I don't think they have to win big. It certainly isn't going to hurt to win big. That's not a given that Cincinnati – I favor Cincinnati over Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State goes out and sends a really strong message, it doesn't erase the loss to Iowa State.
Right, sure doesn't.
So, you know, and they've already beaten Baylor once. And so that's the best Oklahoma State can do, go out and put up a big number. Cincinnati's going to host a very strong offensive team in particular against Houston, so, you know, probably just win. But, I mean, that's the best-case scenario for Oklahoma State to jump Cincinnati is to go out and put up a huge number and hope Cincinnati struggles in a win or, of course, loses.
Loses, yeah. Jerry, good stuff. Really appreciate your time. I'll talk to you next week when we settle all this out.
All right, thanks.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. More thoughts on championship weekend in college football as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Bobby girl. In the Bobby world, life in plastic, it's fantastic.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
What a year 1997 was that this crappy song was a hit. This was on radio all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
I was in here laughing to myself like, okay, when do I hit the rejoin? When do
what
I hit it?
Dumb song this was. God, yeah. But yet, man.
There's no redeeming value to the song.
No, we should be embarrassed. Those of us who are around,
this is that type of song that if you send it to aliens, they would go, just blow up the whole planet.
Yeah, we're either blowing you up or just moving on to the next group of people to have intelligent conversations with. All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Gina Mortgage, it fits your life. Rocket can. Thanks to Jerry Palm joining us. Ah. Setting up some interesting scenarios.
I can't
for
wait.
College football. I can't wait to set
this. I don't know why this year feels a little bit more different. Maybe it's the addition of Cincinnati, kind of like the monkey wrench of it all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like we're at the finish line now. It's like, oh, come on, Cincinnati, don't blow it.
I'm telling you right now, in that room, those 13 people that are going to decide this. It is going to be like when you remember in Jerry Maguire, where Jerry Maguire had that like epiphany and he wrote that whole thing, or like if you ever wrote an email to like your boss or somebody important, you're like
a mission statement.
Yeah, like a mission statement or something like it, where you're like, I want to have this. I need to let people know how I feel about this. And then you get ready to press enter and send, and you're like, there's no turning back now. I used to do this with mail. Like you have a piece of mail, like you'd write a letter to somebody and you'd stick it in the mailbox. And you're like, if I let this go, it becomes government property.
Yeah.
And I can't get it back.
I'm not getting it back.
So the love letter I'm sending to Katie, I better be sure about this, or, you know, whatever it may be, whatever letter you're sending, and you get it to the mailbox. That's the way they're going to be with this. They're going to have four teams, and then they're going to go, are we all good? And everyone's going to look at the round and go, because we can't go back now. And they're all going to go, okay, hit send. And they're going to hit send, and all hell is going to break loose if there's a major controversy. If Cincinnati goes 13-0 and they are not in the top four, they better be ready for an explosion of anger. I am not kidding.
Or if you have a two-loss Alabama that didn't even look like they should have belonged in that SEC championship game, and yet they're still in the top four because it's Alabama. You know, there's going to be there's so many ways that this can go sideways.
Certainly.
And you know those 13 men are sitting there going, okay, how about this? How about Alabama, you just win. Houston, you beat Cincinnati, and then it'll be easy from there.
It'll be easy for us. Exactly.
That's probably the best case scenario for them.
If they come out of that room and go, well, there's nothing we can do, the computer spit this out.
Yep.
Like, it's like, oh, really? We've been doing that the whole time? We really thought that there were three of you were chatting in a room. We didn't know who was behind the curtain of the Great and Powerful Oz. Was the IBM computer this whole time? Because I'm really looking forward to see how this weekend shakes out.
Would it all of a sudden be like surprise guest star?
Yeah.
PCS!
Exactly. All right, hour three coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.